Bible to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, I'm going to draw your attention to verse 8. I'm going to be reading the verses 6 through 12, Ephesians 5, 6 through 12. But just pay special note, our text this morning is verse 8 in Ephesians chapter 5. Beginning in verse 6, "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret." Let's pray. We thank you, Father, for your word that not only shows us the gospel of salvation that Christ died for us, but gives us instructions how your children now ought to live while we are here as pilgrims and sojourners on this earth. Thank you, Lord, that the one who trusts in Jesus Christ is now a citizen of heaven, a child of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Give us grace and understanding how then we ought to live as commanded by you in your holy word, that we might bring glory to your holy name, not only with our words, but so much more with our thoughts, our attitudes, and especially in our actions. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Earlier this year, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 10 were some memory verses that we worked on, for those who were working on the memory verses, and it's been on my heart to consider, look at this passage a little bit, and so we're going to do that this morning before we get back to our regular study in 2 Peter. We're in chapter 3, but today we're in Ephesians chapter 5 in verse 8. And I want to look at this verse because what we see here in Ephesians 5, 8 is that when a sinner trusts in Jesus Christ as their Savior, a fundamental change takes place. And that fundamental change is in their nature as well as in their realm. We're going to look at that. A fundamental change takes place in your very nature and in the realm in which you are. And so we see here that God commands us now as believers in Jesus Christ to live in accordance with that change that he has brought forth in the lives of his children. Now, this may be a review, I hope a reminder to most of us, but there is an important part that I want to bring to light in the day and age in which we live that it seems to me that many believers have lost sight of as we are reminded of some basic truths. I trust there'll be some, some things that round out what you already know as we're reminded. I might bring some things to light that you may not have considered lately, or if ever, but all of it from God's holy word, but especially for us to understand the times in which we live. Now, the truth has been true for all time. We'll see that this morning from God's word. It's been true. Ever since you were born, this has been true, and far before you were ever born. But a lot of Christians have lost sight of a couple of things, and thus we are not acting and interacting, I believe, with the kind of preparedness that God expects us to have as we desire to walk as children of light. I trust that's your desire as a believer, to walk as children of light. Well, let's talk first of all about that fundamental change that takes place in the life of a sinner who repents and trusts in Jesus Christ as their Savior. You see here from our text in verse 8, Paul says, "You were once darkness." Darkness. You were once darkness, but now you are children of light. The Word of God presents that as we are born into this world to our human parents, we are born in a realm of darkness. That's the realm in which we live. We are living in a realm of darkness. That's not only the problem that we have, the problem finds itself even to be greater in that our nature is one of darkness. Would you turn with me to the Gospel of John chapter 3? The Lord Jesus Christ addressed this in his public ministry, and as he was explaining the necessity for Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to go to the cross, he brought to light this realm of darkness that is also a nature of darkness in each and every one who is born of human parents in this world. And I always like to say, just to make sure you're awake, if you're here this morning, you had or have parents. I have to say both, have and had. One of my parents has gone home to be with the Lord. One of them is still with me. But if you're here, then you were born and you had parents. And they only had to give you a sin nature. There's nothing else they could give you. Since Adam and Eve partook of the fruit, Adam only had one thing to give. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 is clear. For as by one man sin entered into the world, and the judgment, death by sin, so death passed upon all men. Why? Because all have sinned. We are sinners by nature. Look here at what Jesus said in John chapter 3. I draw your attention, please, to verse 18. He who believes in him, Jesus is speaking of himself, the Son of God, he who believes in him is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already. The condemnation is already there. The judgment of God is in place. Why? Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. And so believers come to the light, and we seek to be enabled by the light that is in us, we'll be talking about that, that we might live as children of light. But our nature, as Jesus addresses it here, particularly in verse 19, our nature is a nature of darkness. We are children of sin. Paul calls it in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. Romans 5, 12, we're all born into this world in a realm of darkness, and we have a nature of darkness. Now that's important to understand. If you're trying to share the gospel with someone, and I pray that you are, I pray that you're telling people the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ, because men are in darkness, people are in darkness, under the judgment of God as they are born into this world. But the wonderful truth is God has sent forth the light of his Son, Jesus Christ, into this realm of darkness to do a marvelous work that would provide a glorious salvation that is in Jesus Christ alone. Am I stirring up your minds by way of a reminder? I don't want to get to next week yet. Let me continue. Notice, please, that we were called out of darkness according to 1 Peter 2, verse 9. Peter addresses this in his first epistle. You were darkness, but now we've been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. God has created a new realm, and that realm is a realm of light, and that place of light is only in his Son, Jesus Christ. Now we want to ask the question, how does that happen? Or, I pray, how did that happen? The difference between how does and how did is your own personal testimony. Are you in the place of how does that happen? Or can you proclaim, this is how it did happen? Let me just share with you a couple quick verses. Go to the book of Acts, chapter 26. In Acts chapter 26, the Apostle Paul, sharing his own personal testimony of how he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ when he stood before Agrippa, he shared a few more details than Luke shared in chapter 9, gives a little more of what the Lord Jesus Christ said to Paul as he was on the road to Damascus. Of course, you remember, he was the Pharisee Saul of Tarsus, and not till he went on his missionary journeys do we hear him referred to as the Apostle Paul. But the change took place when he met Jesus Christ. Paul alludes to that here in Acts chapter 26. Please notice verse 15. In Acts 26:15, Paul, recounting this interaction that he had with the risen Lord Jesus Christ, says, "So I said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles, to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me.'" Wow. Paul, at this time Saul, "I have chosen you as a vessel to go and bear testimony to the saving work of Jesus Christ," Jesus who had appeared to Saul of Tarsus. And of course, we learn from the testimony of Scripture that it was in those moments that Saul of Tarsus trusted in Jesus Christ as his Savior. Because when the prophet was sent to him to lay his hands on Paul, that his eyes, his blindness, his physical blindness would be healed, God had made it very clear that it was Saul of Tarsus who was now a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. When his physical eyes were healed, his spiritual eyes had already been opened because he trusted in Jesus Christ as his Savior. Notice what Jesus said here. "I want you to go and I want you to proclaim the gospel because I want to turn people from darkness to light." That's our theme this morning. From darkness to light. We were once darkness, but now through faith in Jesus Christ, we are light in the Lord. And we are called to walk as children of light. That's God's command to us. And notice here, Jesus goes on to say to Saul, "from the power of Satan to the very power of God." That's a transference from a realm. Now, how does this get started? The answer, of course, is by the gospel message itself. God uses the gospel, the proclamation of this truth, that Jesus Christ, God who became flesh, the sinless, harmless, spotless, holy Lamb of God, Jesus went to the cross of Calvary. And he died on the cross and he bore your sins and mine. He died in our place, bearing the judgment of God, that in Jesus' words, "whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." When you believe the gospel message, you are moved from the realm of darkness into the realm of light. You are removed from the power of darkness, and now you are indwelt by the very presence of God, which means light dwells in you. Do you remember what Jesus said in the Gospel of John chapter 8, verse 12? "I am the light of the world." And Jesus said, "He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life," the power of light in the one who is trusting in Jesus Christ as his Savior. I'm just stirring up your minds by way of reminder, because there's something I need to remind us of that I think we've forgotten today, but we're still reviewing. This is an important principle. It is a powerful principle. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Now, this is a major theme throughout the New Testament, out of darkness into the marvelous light of God. In 1 Peter 2:9, when Peter uses the adjective marvelous light, it's that which strikes awe, that which strikes wonder. We see something. And it's quoted in Psalm 118, it's quoted in Matthew. And in Matthew, Jesus quoting the passage in Psalm 118 that also gets quoted in 1 Peter chapter 2 about the stone. Jesus is that chosen stone, elect, chosen of God, and precious. But to those who do not believe, they stumble. And to those who reject him, the stone falls on them, according to Matthew chapter 21. That's the judgment of God. Jesus is that stone, and being placed and built upon him through faith in Jesus Christ, God gives us light, and it's a marvelous light. It's a light that causes us to stand back in amazement and wonder. Are you in amazement and wonder at the light of God in your life when you trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior? Here in Colossians chapter 1, please notice verse 13, Paul writes, He, God the Father, verse 12, He, verse 13, has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. The word conveyed means He moved us. God literally removed us from darkness and He placed us into the kingdom of His Son. That's a whole new realm. That's the realm of light. As children of light, we now exist in Jesus Christ in the realm of light, and yet we are still living in this world of darkness. This world didn't change when you got saved. You did. God changed you. And we are here in this world, a realm of darkness, under the sway of the wicked one, Satan himself. The power of darkness is at work. Nobody reads the newspapers anymore. Where do you get your news? Do you stream it? I don't know. Do you listen to it on the radio on your way into work? You hear, you see about darkness that is happening about us. By the way, the actions of darkness here in America seem to be multiplying quicker and quicker and quicker. Why is that? I believe it's because there's fewer and fewer who are genuine believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's not the kind of influence of light that there used to be in this nation. Interesting. Things are moving quickly. We're in a realm of darkness, but if you've trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you were once darkness, now you are light in the Lord. You've been conveyed from the power of darkness into the wonderful place of faith in Jesus Christ. You are now in the realm of light, and the light is in you. Look at verse 27, Colossians 1, 27. To them, the Gentiles, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. It's important to understand that though we are a sinner, we're born into this world as a sinner, God sent His Son Jesus Christ into this world. God became flesh and dwelt among us. And Jesus went to the cross of Calvary and there shed His blood. And He is the only way, He is the only means, He is the only hope of salvation from sin for sinners in Jesus Christ. And a person is saved when you repent of your sin and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. How do you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior? John 1:12, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become children of God, even to them that believe on His name. As Paul said to the Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Turn with me again to the Gospel of John, this time to chapter 12. John chapter 12. In John chapter 12, this is John the Apostle writing this gospel, and he's concluding in chapter 12 Jesus' public ministry before it becomes very private with the disciples in chapters 13 through 17. And then in chapter 18, John will resume with the trials and the Garden of Gethsemane and the trials, and then Jesus on the cross in His death, burial, and His resurrection. Don't ever forget the resurrection. Jesus Christ is alive. By the way, you need to believe that. That's important. Why do you have to believe in the resurrection? If Jesus died on the cross and shed His blood to pay for our sins, why is the resurrection necessary? Well, I have a question for you. Do you believe in a risen Savior or a dead one? That's what I want to know. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, your Savior is dead, and He is no Savior at all. But you can look, and you can find markers, and you can find tombs of all kinds of prophets of religions. People who even claimed to be God, and their bones are decaying in the ground. But you go to the tomb where they laid our Lord Jesus Christ, and it's open. There's no one there. Jesus Christ arose from the dead. We serve a living Savior. And because we are placing our faith in a living Savior, we receive the life of God through faith in Him. Now, John is summing that up here. Notice John chapter 12. I just want you to see verses 35 and 36. Jesus publicly, near the very end of His public ministry, said to them, a little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest what overtakes you? Darkness. The people in Israel had a very special privilege while Jesus was here during his earthly ministry. The light was with them. What a privilege they had. But Jesus is warning them. If they rejected Jesus Christ, what would overtake them? The darkness. Because they had darkness in their heart and they lived in a world of darkness. Do you understand that? The only way to be delivered from the darkness is to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. We're going to see that here in verse 36. The living Savior who is the light of the world. John 1:4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. This is a prominent theme that God wants us to understand. Jesus is warning them, if you don't believe the light, you'll see that in verse 36, the darkness will overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light that you may become sons of light. How do you become a child of God, a son of light? You must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you must understand you're a sinner and that there's nothing you can do to save your soul. I'm born into this world a sinner. I'm in a realm of sin under the condemnation of God and will go into the judgment of God if I do not accept God's remedy. That's point number two. The remedy is God came to this world and died on the cross and shed his blood to pay for our sins, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus Christ paid it all. And then you must believe. It's not enough to just know these truths. You must receive Jesus Christ by placing, committing your faith. And listen, we have to describe these words today because language changes, living languages do, and people's ideas change. People used to understand that if I place my faith in someone, if I commit myself to someone, I give myself unreservedly to them. We don't do that today. You know, someone says, well, do you believe me? And we all say, yeah, sure, I believe you. And we're standing there like the skeptic, aren't we? And you know the illustration I've given you more than once when I've talked about faith. The tightrope walker who has the cord between the two points. Let's say he's just 35 feet off the ground and there's no safety net. And he gets out on his bicycle with his pole and rides across the tightrope, turns around and comes back. And he asks the crowd, do you believe that I can ride across this tightrope and back? Yay, absolutely, we believe. And so then he turns and says, come over here and get on my shoulder. What? Hop on, I'm going to take you across and back. Whoa! That's good for you, but I don't know if that's good for me. Does that sound familiar today? It's not enough to know. To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ is to give your heart to him, to commit yourself to him completely. Yes, Lord, I believe. I will go where you want me to go. I will do what you want me to do. I have committed myself to thee, and I am ready for you to take me to glory. There's no other way to get there. No other way. Jesus clearly said, you must believe in Jesus Christ, the light, in order to become a child of God. That's a theme in this epistle. So let's just sum it up here, because I've got to move quickly. Ephesians chapter 1. All right, once I get this passage done, now I'm going to ask you to think a little. All right. This is in summary now. Ephesians chapter 1, I've given you that there are 3 points to the gospel message. There's the gospel itself proclaimed. We need to understand that we are sinners in our sins and under the judgment of God. And then the gospel tells us the good news, and that is that Christ died for our sins. He arose from the dead. In his shed blood, the perfect, spotless Lamb of God provided a full and complete salvation. And number 3, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, if you receive him as your Savior, you will be born again and become a child of God. Notice here in Ephesians chapter 1, as Paul opens up in verse 13, speaking of Jesus Christ, he says in verse 13, in him, in Christ, you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Now that goes on further and shares more details than just the summation of it. God has sent forth his Spirit into the heart of the one who believes in Jesus Christ, and we are guaranteed to be home in heaven with our Savior, Jesus Christ. What glory, what praise we have for God who saved us, and it's an eternal salvation that God has given to us. Through faith in Jesus Christ, now you are children of light. Through faith in Jesus Christ, we're born again, we have eternal life, and we are now children of light. You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Now, we covered briefly that we changed, but did this world change? No. It's not going to change until Jesus Christ returns to establish his kingdom. It's not even going to change at the rapture when God calls us home, out of this world. As a matter of fact, if it's possible, and it is, the darkness is going to get darker, according to the New Testament. It's going to get darker until Jesus Christ returns to establish his kingdom and righteousness on this earth. Yes, we are in a realm of darkness. That's why in Ephesians chapter 5, we are commanded, walk as children of light. God now wants us to live as those who have been transformed in the realm of darkness where God has placed us, left us. We're here to be light in the midst of darkness, that we might be a testimony to the light of the world, the only living Savior, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Now, can I ask you to think for a minute? We're in a realm of darkness. We're living in a world of darkness. It is an overflow of wickedness that is on us on every side. But I want you to understand that there is a realm that human eyes very rarely, if ever, see. There is a spiritual realm that human eyes very rarely, if ever, see. But it is very, very real. The Word of God tells us that God has created angels. Angels. We're familiar with that in the Bible, aren't we? And God created one angel, Lucifer, who rebelled against God, didn't he? Yes, Isaiah chapter 14, the I wills. Culminating, I will be like the Most High in his rebellion against God, who was cast out of heaven. And the Word of God reveals that there's a host of angels, I think about a third of them, according to Revelation chapter 12, who followed Satan in his rebellion against God. Now, if you are not with God, you are against God. Is that fair to say? There's a lot of people who think there's a middle ground, but there isn't. You're either with the Lord or you're against him. Even if you don't realize you're against him, you are by nature living in a realm that is against him. And there is a spiritual realm that is against God. There is. There's also angels of light. There are holy angels, two-thirds of them, if one-third have fallen, and two-thirds have remained faithful. Hebrews chapter 1 calls those angels ministers of light. They're God's ministers who serve him. We know the names of a couple. I can think of two. I think of Michael. I think of Gabriel, among the many angels who are faithful to God. Now, a lot of our world is taken up with spiritual light and darkness. False religions misunderstand this light and darkness, this unseen realm, especially Eastern religions that want to present that the yin and the yang, the good versus the bad, it'll all balance out. I want to tell you, it is going to be the glorious Savior, Jesus Christ, who's going to triumph over every and all darkness and will establish a day of righteousness that will go forward into all eternity. You need to know which side you're on. That's what we reviewed. What I want to remind us of is there is a realm of darkness that we don't see. And we are in the midst of darkness, and the darkness is going on all about us. And there is an interaction even on people. Do you know some unbelievers are beginning to realize this, perceive it? There's wickedness that's going on, and people are being influenced to embrace wickedness and evil. And I'm sorry to say, it seems like there's a lot of Christians who just seem to be so ho-hum and simple about their approach to life to not even pay attention to there is an enemy of God. Let's look there just quick. We're in Ephesians. Go to chapter 6, because you need to know if I'm just speaking words or if this is God's truth. I assure you, I would speak none of it unless I read it in this book, God's holy word. I assure you of that. Ephesians chapter 6, you know verse 10, where we're encouraged to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's the realm of light, our Savior Jesus Christ. But notice verse 12. For we do not wrestle against what? That's the physical realm. Now, Paul is not saying here that we don't have physical struggles. We do all the time. But the believer needs to understand we are set in a spiritual battle. Through faith in Jesus Christ, we who once were darkness are now light in the Lord. And we are living in a realm of darkness, this world system. And there are hosts of darkness who hate God, who hate God's truth, who hate God's children, and are seeking to bring forth darkness in every way possible as they oppose God. And so Paul is reminding us of that. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of what?
This age.
This reminds us that it's temporary, by the way. Aren't you thankful? This age. There's a glorious age of light coming when Jesus Christ returns. But right now, you and I are in this age. And there are hosts of spiritual wickedness. And they are working at all kinds of levels to seek to stop the return of Jesus Christ. They will lose. Jesus Christ will come. He will prevail. I read it in Revelation 4 and 5. Praise God. Jesus is coming to establish his kingdom in righteousness. But that hasn't stopped Satan and his host. What I want to point to us, out to us this morning is we're in the midst of this darkness. Are you walking as a child of light in the midst of darkness? Or are you going along with the flow? If you're going with the flow, do you realize you're being influenced in this realm of darkness to some ways help darkness as it's going on about us? Or do you stand up as a soldier of Jesus Christ? We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Wow, there's much more here than I understand. Human eyes rarely, if ever, see this realm that we're talking about. Turn with me to the Old Testament. Can you find 2 Kings chapter 6? 2 Kings chapter 6. You may know this passage. I trust you do. We're turning back to the days of the northern 10 tribes and great apostasy, and we're in a second great prophet that God sent to the nation of Israel. His name was Elisha. God sent Elijah, and God sent Elisha. We're coming in the days of Elisha. And the hosts of darkness were influencing the Gentile nations against the people of Israel. God's not caught off guard by this in any way. Doesn't catch him by surprise. It did not catch Elisha by surprise, but it caught his servant by surprise. I'm not going to read the whole passage. Verses 8 all the way down and through the end of the chapter. This is all in a context of God's mighty working through his prophet. But notice, please, the king of Syria, a Gentile. This is verse 8. I'm in 2 Kings in chapter 6, verse 8. The king of Syria was making war against Israel, and he consulted with his servants, saying, my camp will be... He's making his plans, all right? The verse is going. He's making his plans. But what happens is his plans keep getting thwarted because somehow the king of Israel keeps finding out what his plans are. He can't surprise the Israelites. And he's trying to figure it out. Who's the traitor in my midst? And one of them, who knows the truth, says it's not a traitor in our midst, but it's none other than the prophet Elisha, who's revealing all your plans to the king of Israel, so you can't have a surprise. Well, he has a very pragmatic approach to this. Pragmatic approaches work, by the way. He sends his army, forget about fighting the king of Israel, we'll fight the prophet of God. Are you a child of God? Do you think that there isn't a marker on you as a son of light? Pragmatism. We'll go fight the prophet. Well, let's see. Verse 12. One of his servants said, none, my lord, but, O king, Elisha the prophet who is in Israel tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. Do you think God knows what you say, what you do, where you are, what you watch, what you hear? Our heavenly Father knows. And he's communicating to his prophet. So as I said, verse 14, he sent his horses and chariots and a great army there. And they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early, went out, there was an army. This is a physical army. The hosts of Syria surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do? We're in trouble. They found us out." So he answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with him." Can you just see the servant of Elisha looking around? All I see is you and me. We don't have one chariot. We don't have one horse. And so Elisha prays. And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." Then the Lord opened his eyes, the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Who was in the better situation? The faithful servant of God, who was protected by the holy servants of God. But I want you to know that Satan is hard at work with his hosts. We read that in the book of Daniel. Even trying to influence leaders of nations? Yes. There is a spiritual battle going on. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. And the sons of God are sons of light, and we are in the midst of the battle. Now, just before I move on, please let me remind you that this is no cause for fear for the child of God. This is not a cause for us to tremble. Remember, Colossians 1:27, we saw that when you trust in Jesus Christ, he comes to live within you. This is our blessed hope. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We are not to fear. What are we to do? Elisha has the answer here. Pray. When we sense that there is something going on, and it's of a spiritual nature, opposing the will and the way of God, the child of God needs to be on our knees in prayer. Now listen, some of us just wait for those moments to come to pray. But if we obey the scriptures, pray without ceasing, you're on good ground. You're on very good ground. Walk as children of light. We are in a realm of darkness, and there is influences that are going on all about us, on people, on leaders, on committees, boards, governments, companies. Are all, you may wonder, I don't know, maybe you don't wonder, I do, I wonder, how can companies embrace wickedness and demand that all their employees will embrace the wickedness of racism? It's a reverse racism from what we saw in the past in our nation that's going on under this wokeism and all kinds of things. How can whole companies embrace this and tell you we will get rid of you? There's an influence that's going on behind the scenes, if you don't know it. How is it? There's an influence. God has left his children here to walk as children of light and to be a testimony to an awesome God who has prevailed through his Son, Jesus Christ, and is going to prevail when he returns. This is important for us to understand. Why is it important for us to obey God's word? We need to realize that God has called us to a life of holiness. In a word, walking as children of light means to walk in holiness. Remember, it's light and darkness that's being contrasted. And in John chapter 3, Jesus was very clear what the darkness was. Because their deeds were evil, wicked. And so light is holiness. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And through faith in Jesus Christ, we were once darkness, but now we are light in the Lord. What are we called to do? Walk. Walk as children of light. God wants us to live a holy life, understanding that there are influences all around us, understanding that as we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we will be a testimony for a righteous, holy God who's saving sinners from darkness into his marvelous light. There's no opportunity, there shouldn't be, that we should be dabbling around with darkness in this world. Let's conclude it by going back to Ephesians 5. We'll just bring it to a close, full circle. I pray that I just give a little context to what's here in Ephesians 5:8. Walk as children of light. Walk in holiness. Understand the battle that we're engaged in. Understand the Lord that we represent, a Lord God who's holy, Jesus Christ, our Savior, the Holy One of God. And we are children of light through faith in Him to represent our Savior. Look at how this chapter opens up in verse 1. Paul writes, "Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children." Imitator. The word means to mimic. To mimic. Mimic God. How are you going to do that? Well, I'm just going to try to live a good life. Only to find failure. But if you're born again and you have a new nature and Christ has come to live within you, the Spirit of God who indwells us wants to enable us by God's presence in our life to bring forth fruit. Holy fruit of righteousness to God. Notice what Paul says here in verse 2. Walk in love as Christ has loved us and given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. And then Paul gets pretty serious, doesn't he? Fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for what? Saints. God wants us to walk as children of light. And I pray that we understand this morning how important it is. We are in a context, God has purposely placed us here to represent our Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, there's a battle. And Satan is seeking to do all he can to undermine your testimony if you are a child of God. Don't let him do it. May the Lord encourage our hearts to see the battle as it is, to be in prayer and by his grace and his presence in our lives, to walk as children of light, to interpret what we see going on around us in a correct biblical context, and understand that Jesus Christ has left us here because he's still saving souls. Aren't you thankful for that? He's saving souls, children of light. Let's look to God in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Thank you for this admonition. Thank you for this blessed truth of salvation in Jesus Christ, your work in our hearts and minds. I pray, Father, that we would be mindful of these things and that we would renew our hearts and minds daily in prayer and Lord, dedicate ourselves to being a living sacrifice that we might be holy and acceptable unto you, that we might honor you and understand that Satan is seeking to oppose. Thank you, Lord, that your enemy is a defeated enemy. You made an open show of principalities and powers when Jesus died on the cross and said, "It is finished." Thank you, Lord, that you made an open show of the victory that you have accomplished in Jesus Christ, your Son. I pray that we would renew our minds and hearts in the spiritual battle in which we are engaged every day. And Father, if we've forgotten these things, if we've stumbled and have fallen, Father, I pray that we would not in self-pity, that we would be in the mire. I pray that you would help us to stand up in the wonderful forgiveness that you give when we confess our sins, that we might continue forward as children of light, mimicking you, Father, that we might honor you in all that we do and say. And Father, I pray that you will give us opportunity to see souls come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior as we share the good news of salvation with them. We give our thanks to you in Jesus' name. Amen.